Brother Matt, very, very happy to have all of you with us tonight. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and be turning with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew 23, and trust me, we will get there eventually. We began this morning in talking about the concept of character. And we tried to point out that our society is just inundated with achievement and fulfillment, and the ends justify the means. Anything that makes you feel good, do it, so to speak. And anything that gets in your way of achievement or fulfillment is inherently wrong. And you don't realize that until we face such political hot potatoes as we do in the 21st century. For example, with regard to gambling, the ends justify the means, right? To fund this and this and this, and regardless of the fact that the Bible teaches it's immoral, and the studies have shown the people that gamble the most can afford it the least, and on and on and on we go. The subject of abortion comes up, and I am so glad that Roe versus Wade was reversed based on medical fact, because so many were using abortion as a it got in the way of achievement. The pregnancy got in the way of advancing in a career. Once again, no character, but rather achievement and fulfillment. Well, tonight, what I'd like to do is be a little bit practical with you. Because of all of the things that I said this morning, the consequence of all of that is we pay a very high price when we sacrifice character. And it comes into play more often than not in our relationships. Because when there is a deficit in character, the destruction of the relationships soon follows. But you see, the best way I know to illustrate it is a combustion engine. We all drove or rode in an automobile. And every engine, whether it be a diesel or a gasoline, it's got combustion. There's explosions going on in there. There's unbelievable heat being generated by the pistons in those cylinders. And every one of those parts is designed to work together, but what does it have to have? Motor oil. It has to have lubricant. It has to have some kind of oil, because, watch it now, if not, those parts that were designed to work together end up destroying one another. You may not understand that, but in a combustion engine, if it doesn't have any motor oil, those pistons will sooner or later weld themselves and destroy the motor, and it'll blow up. You see it in races all the time. He blew an engine. Well, what happened? The heat, the parts that were designed to work together ended up working against each other. Now, said all that to say this. This solves a great mystery. How is it that two people can start out so deeply in love? They have everything in common. They surround themselves with friends and family who support them at a wedding that costs thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And they commit themselves for better or for worse till death do us part. How is it that those two people can end up hating each other? How is it, as I said earlier, how is it they can end up at the courthouse and we have to have extra security to keep down the fighting and the violence in the hallway and in the parking lot? How did that happen? Well, simple. Either one or both of them had a character flaw. Either one or both of them had no character. Because that character serves as that lubricant for relationships. And I don't care how perfectly suited you are at your job or how much education you've got. I don't care how much talent you have. If there is no character, you're going to end up destroying every relationship you touch. And the sad thing is, if you abandon your character, you can watch these relationships be destroyed just like that engine from the inside out. And that means the people closest to you. That means the people that you love the most, allegedly, are the ones that are going to suffer the most. They're the ones that are going to suffer the deepest hurt. And you see, we've fallen for this lie that says somehow if you are good at your job, then you must be good at relationships at home. And that's why we try to tell these young ladies, these girls that are reaching dating age, tell them to be careful who you are looking for as a husband. Because it's for life. I told you before about doing a wedding and one of our girls was marrying a boy that was not a Christian. And at the rehearsal, the groom's mother said to me just in passing comment, she said, "Oh, we love her. We think she's going to make a good first wife." I'm telling you, folks, that's what's out there. And these relationships sometimes don't function because someone is simply talented or they make a lot of money. That's not what makes relationships work. Relationships function because of character. You show me a man that is perfectly fitted for his job, educationally, talent-wise, and yet he has no character. I'll show you a man that can't hold a job. I'll show you a man that moves around from job to job to job. You show me a man or a woman who, from all appearances, they seem to be made for each other. But one or both of them has a character flaw, and I'll show you a marriage that's headed for trouble. You show me a preacher or an elder or a teacher that may be a talented communicator, but they have no character. And I'll show you a church that's headed for trouble. Because character develops respect. And in the body of Christ, that is the driving force of a long-term relationship. Not just in the church, but in the home. So a number of years ago, I started looking for a good definition of the word character. And here, the dictionary that I looked at kind of gave me a definition that was kind of weak or shallow, because basically all it said was moral strength. But let me illustrate the way we have moved character out of our terminology. Here's the definition I came up with. From another source. Character is a belief in a system of absolute truth. Let that soak in. System of absolute truth, of right and wrong, combined with the will to do what's right regardless of the cost. Two parts. Number one, there are certain things that are always right. That's absolute truth. That is this book. The sectarians out there will tell you there's no such thing as absolute. Let me tell you something. Jesus died for absolute truth. Pilate asked him, "Are you the Christ?" And Jesus didn't have any choice but to answer, "Thou hast said." So character is a belief in a system of absolute truth combined with, are you ready? The will to do what's right regardless of the cost. The will to do what's right. And the Apostle Peter deals, or rather the Apostle Paul, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, he speaks of this. To know what, but then the will to do what's right. Instead of what we hear in our society, oh, I've got to do what's right for me. I've got to do what's right for me. No, character asks what's right, not what's right for me. Character does not define personal success in terms of dollars and cents, in terms of achievement. This is the man and his wife. He or she, one, is advancing in their job. And there's a possibility of promotion, and they may have to move. Character says what's in the best interest of our family. Character says what's in the best interest of the spiritual well-being of our family, not how much does it pay. And so character is that belief system in certain things that are always right and wrong, and then the will, the desire to do it. So in a sense, our success is determined not by how much money do I make and what is my level of popularity and success, but rather my character issues. That is my success. And you pillow your head at night and you review the crossroads of the day where you had to make decisions, and you say, I chose character. Yeah, maybe I lost a little money, but I did what was right. Then you are a success. You ever met anybody like that? You ever known anybody like that? That you respected, and I want you to take this word as it's intended. They were predictable. Now, I didn't say they was in a rut doing the same old thing. No. They were predictable in that they were dependable. You could count on them to do what was right. They weren't appealing to emotion. They weren't appealing to circumstances. They were appealing to what was right. Now then, hold it right there. If you do this, if you follow what this book teaches in terms of character, I got news for you. You're not going to see that out in the world. Your kids are not going to go to school with people like this. They're not going to go to work for people like this, because you're not going to hear this in the world. You're going to hear the opposite. Might makes right. And the greasy wheel, the noisy wheel gets the grease. Those ethics is what I can get away with. That's what the world is going. See, the world is trying to push us away from absolute truth. The world is trying to push us away from the consistency and the constancy of truth. And if we don't determine now to be people of character, it won't be long till we're just kind of going through the motions. We're here, we're holding services, we're paying our bills, but we're just going through the motions because our heart is somewhere else. And when this happens, it's a denial of who we are. And I'm going to go to my grave saying this: that Christianity is not what you do. It's who you are. And Christianity is all about character. Because Jesus Christ came to this earth to change the heart. He came to change the heart, knowing that in time, if you change the heart, then you're going to change the behavior. And it's going to take place from the inside out. See, that's the reason that Christians of all people In this world in which we're living, in this nation in which we're living, we ought to be the ones leading the way in terms of character. Because that's what attracts attention in the workplace, in the school, in the neighborhood. And that is, people say, that they notice, I notice you didn't when you could have. I notice you did this when you didn't have to. How did my Jesus put that? Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. They notice when you go through a terrible tragedy. And they ask, how did you deal with it? Well, what are they noticing? They're noticing behavior. That's great. That's great. Anybody can behave. Anybody can go through the motions. Anybody can put on a show. But children of God are not putting on a show. They're being changed from the inside out. That's what the aroma of Christ is all about, as Paul puts it. You're changing from the inside out. You're light in a dark world. That's why John said, for if we walk in the light, 1 John 1 and verse 7. That's why Jesus said that we are to be salt. You are the salt of the earth in a very tasteless society. And that's what attracts the attention and the respect of people. However, if your pursuit in life is achievement and performance and fulfillment and not character, then you're not walking in the Spirit. That's Galatians 5 and verse 16. But the opposite, you're walking after the desire of the flesh. And here's the sad part. We wonder why God seems so distant. We wonder why God seems so very far away. We wonder why our struggles seem so magnified in our lives. We wonder why our prayers just seem to bounce off the ceiling. Back to Paul in Philippians 2, he said, God is at work, where? In you. How? By His Spirit. By His Spirit. To do what? To reproduce the life that Christ lived under. Folks, Jesus came to show us how to live, and Jesus came to show us how to think. That psychology book, the book of Philippians in chapter 2 and verse 5, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And when we thumb our nose at what God wants us to do and who He wants us to be, then we are quenching the Spirit. That's 1 Thessalonians 5 in verse 19, in that we are refusing to do the will of God in His Word. Now then, you're ready for Matthew 23. Having said all of that, in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus deals with this head on. Because the Pharisees were convinced that God only cares about the outside. God only cares about what you do. Sounds kind of like today's culture, doesn't it, Matt? Only thing that matters is what you do. Well, look at what Jesus says in verse 23 of Matthew 23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Don't hold back, Lord. Tell us what you really think. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for ye tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Now, wait a minute. Look what he said. Look at it very, very carefully. You missed the point, Jesus said. You pay attention to the weightier matters. What's he talking about? Well, the deal, and this was part of their worship. This was part of doing the right thing on the right day, going through all of the motions. But look what they had neglected. Jesus says the weightier, the more important provisions, justice, mercy, faithfulness. What are you saying, Jesus? Guys, you weren't thinking. You just kind of like the military out there marching in order, but no thought process was going into this whatsoever. And maybe you're like some of these folks in that you're tempted to think, well, now, wait a minute. Are you saying that God's not concerned about the outside? No, I'm not saying that at all. Because from where I'm standing, if God was really concerned about the outside, he'd have done a better job. That'll hit you about noon tomorrow. If he was really concerned about our appearances and that alone, he'd have done a better job on some of us. But that's not the point. And yet, look at us. See, I'm aware of the fact when you look in the mirror of a morning, you realize you're fighting a losing battle against nature. Your hair's turning gray or it's turning loose. You got furniture disease. Your chest is dropped down into your drawers. And we exercise and we diet and we put on makeup and we put on wigs and we dye this. And what are we doing? We're working on the outside. I got to stay in shape. Well, that's fine, God. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. You need to take care of it. But I have found a solution to staying in shape. Buy new clothes. See, that works for me, doesn't it? Because I got to keep this cup clean. And that's what Jesus was getting on to the Pharisees, and we're missing the whole point. We're missing out on everything that Jesus came to do. And missing out on everything he wants us to be. And if you miss out on everything I've said tonight, please don't miss out on what Jesus said in verse 26 of Matthew chapter 23. You blind Pharisee, first, mark it, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. There it is. Clean up on the inside. Now notice, I'm so glad he said first. He didn't say along with. He didn't say when you get to it, or when you have time, or when it's convenient, like Herod said, at a more convenient time, I'll call. He said first. And I understand that. I know what that means. First, do what, Gary? Clean up the inside. And when you do that, the outside's going to take care of itself. I heard about a real life illustration of this. I may have shared it with you before. I heard about, and read in one of our papers, about a woman who worked at an abortion clinic. And again, back then, Supreme Court said it was legal. We didn't have sonograms. And millions, probably billions of babies had been aborted since Roe versus Wade. And this was one of the ladies that worked in that abortion clinic. And she said she always looked at those body parts as just tissue. And then one of her friends invited her to go to a revival with her at the local congregation of God's people. And she went back again, and she went back again, and she went back again. And she became a Christian. And the next night after she became a Christian, the preacher preached on that passage where Paul says, you're a new creation. Old things are done away, and all things become new. And she really took that to heart, and she went to bed that night and actually woke up the next morning expecting to look different. And she was disappointed. But she got to work that day. And she saw that same tissue that she had been seeing for years. But this time she saw it as a Christian. She saw that tissue for what it really was. And she quit her job and she went home and wept. Folks, that's God's way. God's way is changing us from the inside out by being people of character, letting our light so shine before men that they'll see our good works. Don't make any mistake about it. They'll see our good works. But they'll see them in such a way as God gets the glory, not us. And that's what real character is all about. And so then it's altogether fitting as we begin a new week. If you're out of Christ, I don't want to hold anything back. We hope to baptize you tonight. Water is ready. The clothing is ready. All things are ready. Waiting for you to make a decision. And maybe you're struggling. Maybe I've hit a nerve tonight, not from what I say, but from what this book says, in terms of being the type of person God wants me to be. Perfection? No, that's not what we're calling on. But being genuine and thinking spiritually and seeing the world through glasses that are stained with the blood of Jesus. And so if you need to rededicate your life tonight, we'll pray with you and we'll pray for you. We invite you to come while we stand, while we sing. Matt will lead us.